Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
And we have two now stunning stories in the NBA tonight. Somehow, the Sixers give away an incredibly large lead that was as big as 24 at one point. They go to the fourth quarter up 18 against the Hawks. They blow that lead, and the Hawks win to take a 3-2 lead. Without Kawhi Leonard, who is likely done for the playoffs with an ACL injury suffered in the last game, the Clippers go on the road tonight, thanks to Paul George, and are on the cusp of beating the Jazz. They're going to win the game. The final score is the only thing that's up in the air. It is 117 to 111 with 7 seconds left in the game. Paul George, 37 points, 16 rebounds, and 5 assists to lead the way for the Clippers. Look, they got 25 from Marcus Morris. They got 20 from Reggie Jackson. But these two games, Mike, both defy explanation because there's no way the Sixers should have given this one up at home. There's no way the Jazz should come in here without Kawhi Leonard and lost this game to the Clippers, especially starting out as hot as they did from three-point range. It just goes to show you in the NBA, you make plans. You think this is what's going to happen when things come down to it, and you get the absolute opposite. It's crazy.
17 three-pointers in the first half and only up 5. We said it on air at the time that didn't feel right, right? Like a rumbling in your stomach as you've consumed and wolfed down a bowl of chili. That kind of scenario, right? Where maybe you get the rumbling. I will say there's a common element to these games. One had Doc Rivers. The other didn't have Doc Rivers. Adjustments and changing things up, and a Herculean performance by Paul George, who decided, I heard it all. Hey, it's my time to shine. Let's go to work.
Don't blame me. It's Ben Simmons' fault. He can't take any shots. Can't any free throws.
It's not Blake's fault.
No. Blame Ben. Hey, listen, if I was there, we'd have already won this series against the Jazz, but they didn't want me there, so now here I am with a guy that won't shoot the basketball. What do you want me to do? He's dating a Kardashian. He won't shoot the ball in the fourth quarter. What do you want? What do you want? It's not me. I'm not playing the game. I'm just coaching the guys. All right, I got Seth Curry to score 35 points tonight. Not Steph Curry. I got Seth Curry. And that's all me. I did it all by myself. I told him, go out, shoot the ball. That's all me. Not my fault.
There's at least 6 or 7 jokes in there that I'm just going to let go. I like, A, my job, and B, karma is not kind to you. So we're just going to let those pass by. You can all marinate those as you will across the country and globally, listening on the iHeartRadio app, wherever you are. Thanks for being part of the family. But, yes, the good Doc Rivers impression, you hadn't really unloaded it in a while. You got it a couple times tonight. So good job by you. But, yes, that game earlier tonight, one that you think you should be not necessarily on cruise control, but you take your foot off the gas a little. The problem is you only got 2 guys that want and can shoot. That's usually not a winning recipe.
It is over in Salt Lake City. The final score is 119-111. The Clippers, my Clippers. Remember, I picked them to go to the NBA Finals. Joining us now on the hotline, LA Times insider, who covers the Clippers and Lakers for the LA Times, friend of the show. We always welcome him in with the most depressing Pearl Jam song there is. It's Dan Wojcicki. Dan, what's happening, buddy?
Guys, are we sure this game is final? I asked this of someone who's very familiar with the Clippers and their history. We're positive. This will not be going to some sort of Arizona-style recount. Like, this is done? Is that what we got?
It's done. It's finished. Okay. Yes, it's absolutely done. Yes.
An all-time great Clippers win tonight. Truly.
This is amazing.
Well, there's not that many. There's also not that many, Dan. I mean, let's be honest. They don't have tons of them.
For sure, right? And look, I mean, this is ultimately like sort of the cruelty and weirdness of being somebody in sort of the Clippers orbit is that like the goalposts are unlike any other in the NBA. Very rarely do you talk about a team that's never made the conference finals before like that. That's some sort of mythical hump. But like up three, like, look, we should say this. really weird stuff could be on the horizon for the Clippers, just sort of based on their history. Like, this by no means means they are out of the weeds. But I will say, I was just going to fire off this tweet, guys, before you rudely interrupted it, that I down 2-0 to Dallas, there was a lot of chatter among other reporters, among the talking heads of the world, among, quite frankly, scouts and executives, about kind of the people that I chit-chat with, about the Clippers' heart and their mental toughness and about how they didn't have either. And I think since that point, they've answered a lot of those questions. They've certainly answered the questions to the point which, as you know, I mean, like, I did a national podcast with a competitor. Sorry, guys, I was cheating. I met him on Ashley Madison, and we and
life's short,
and,
yeah, right.
And as we were talking, you know, like, one of the things we prepped was like fake Paul George trade. I think we've moved past that point. I hope discourse wise we move past that point, and kind of, you know, this is a tough team. And they've proven it here, I think, you know, in these last two-plus weeks, going to Dallas and winning twice, playing two must-win games, winning a Game 7, falling down 2-0 to Utah in games, quite frankly, that they could have won either of, and then, you know, winning three straight, especially this one, after the Kawhi news, a demoralizer, which, like, I mean, we'll get into that, but it's like, typically you don't hold off on ACL news because it's going to get better. Right, like, that's just not normally how that ligament works. So it's sort of, you know, there might be bad news coming on that front, and like, they come out and it's, I say this knowing exactly what it means. It's a top three or a top four all time. It's one of their best playoff wins ever. It really is, and good for them for having it. I know that people in that organization who've had a rough day are really proud of them.
Dan, so I just. No, go ahead, Jason.
No, go ahead, Mike. You finish. Go ahead.
Well, just from I mean, we just look at Paul George. Let's just go there.
Yep.
Right? A guy that all those whispers, like you were talking, was, all right, they lose to Dallas, or they get down here, or they lose to this round. Are they blowing it up, and is Paul George the guy getting moved? Now they're going to build a statue for him outside whatever facility they own.
Yep, not close. Elgin, you were a great player. Sorry, we need that real estate now. No, yeah, it's I mean, look, right? Like, the limitations are what they are. You know, you wish you saw a little more of this fire on a consistent basis. You wish you saw a little bit more of this dominance on a continual basis. And look, there may be reasons why it doesn't happen, right? Like, I mean, it is structurally strange to have two amazing players who functionally kind of do the same thing, right? Like, that's not exactly how you would dream up a roster, but, like, when they're that good, you figure it out. LeBron and Dwayne Wade figured it out. You know, and look, they're a little different, obviously. And LeBron's a natural playmaker, and that's not necessarily true about Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. But you saw them starting to figure it out a little bit. And then I think, obviously, in this game, you just saw Paul George – And really, the Clippers as a whole, I mean, just take like an all-time haymaker too from the Jazz to start that game. You know, I was talking to everybody I knew about the Jazz's three-point shooting. You know, sending texts would be like, do you believe this? Like, you know, 10 threes in the first quarter, 17 attempts in like 13 minutes. It's a math problem that you can't. The team's going to make that many threes. Like, you're not going to look. If Utah made 40 threes, it'd been a long night for the Clippers. And obviously, the shooting was going to cool down a little bit because it does. But, you know, Utah's been making tough shots all series. Donovan Mitchell has been making tough shots all series. And the Clippers hung in there. And again, I think for a team that had sort of its intestinal fortitude, to borrow a phrase, you know, kind of checked. You know, I guess their fortitude is past. They've got good intestines.
I've passed some fortitude. I feel better now. Once I passed that fortitude, I was okay with it. It worked out well for me.
You got to break it down into smaller pieces, typically, to get it through there. But the Clippers managed to hang on.
All right, so much like we saw here, Dan, you know, give me percentage here. Like, we watched the game last night and watched Kevin Durant put on an all-time great performance. But
all-time
really,
great game.
The Bucks kind of helped give it to them with many things they did. We watched the Hawks come from behind to beat the Sixers. But, boy, the Sixers are really responsible for helping the Hawks come back in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
weird
Paul
half.
George and the Clippers played extremely well, but this was the Jazz at home hitting 13 threes in the first 90 seconds of the game, and still they lost at home. What percentage of this game would you say, hey, the Jazz were responsible for giving this to the Clippers?
I mean, at least a third of it, right? Like, I mean, I think Utah's going to look at this and they're going to see some stuff. I mean, the downside is when you start up that hot, like, you sort of think you're that hot the whole game. And like, they took some pretty bad shots. You know, after Jordan Clarkson got really hot, he took a couple of really bad shots. Royce O'Neal, in my opinion, took a few bad shots. Didn't look like he really wanted the ball much. Donovan Mitchell took some pretty bad shots down the stretch. Like, ultimately, like, and look, they're the kind of shots that if you go in, you post a video on Twitter and you talk about how you should make him the new logo and stuff like that. But when you miss him, you know, you don't hear as much about him. And I think Utah is certainly responsible for some of that stuff. I don't think Donovan Mitchell's healthy. I think that's part of this, too. And then, obviously, you know, Utah is one of their best players not playing in the series either. It's kind of interesting, guys. And I mean, we should talk about the day as a whole because, in the words of and can you get the delay button ready for me? I think I can say this. Because I wrote it in the paper. I got a text this morning from a GM, and I had just woken up like 8:15 in the morning, and the GM was just like, wild ass day. And, like, we hadn't even really gotten into the stuff yet, guys. Like, four other things happened after that. This, though, I mean, like, a pretty wild, gutty win from a team that you just don't really think of as being that gutsy anymore. Like, that was the team 3 years ago that played the Warriors and fought valiantly and lost. You know, this team has been more of, like, a front-runner team. The Lob City teams are always kind of thought of as more as front-runner teams. They're the team on the other side of this story, and at least for tonight, the Clippers sort of flipped that script.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question was league-wide a stranger day when Bobby Marks has to update a tweet talking about coaching longevity because he has to eliminate Scott Brooks after posting it the first time. So all sorts of craziness around the league. So since you covered that, let's go to the LeBron James injury missive.
Yeah.
And I told you, and Jason and I got into it, got a little contentious talking about schedules and how this season is played out. Obviously, post-COVID, it's going to be a little different, right? Shortened off season and everything else. But when we take the largesse, I mean, does he have a point, or is it LeBron just felt like he'd gone quiet for a day or two and needed to be in the news?
Little column A, little column B, guys. I think it's sort of probably how this works, right? It's like, I mean, he couldn't change his jersey number again. Like, that would have been weird. No, I think I'm changing my number to 81, the number of days you gave me off. Look, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff in what LeBron said. I think there's some truth in what he said. I also think he and the players at large are complicit, too. They agreed to this as a union. And look, a union doesn't represent everybody. And that, to me, was kind of an interesting thing. It wasn't just, you know, a shot at the league, per se. There's a shot at his representation, too, in terms of the union, you know. A union that's run by somebody that he knows incredibly well and has a long, long relationship with, in Chris Paul. I think that was interesting. Who also, by the way, just eliminated LeBron's team. I think that, look, I mean, the Lakers, it also sort of speaks to sort of the Lakers' just sort of overall attitude towards the year, which was like to go to a deep cut, like sort of like Dante and Clerks, which is like, I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
37?
like, look it up, kids. Which, like, you know, I think, actually don't, that might not hold up. But there wasn't a little bit of that, I think, in it. But look, right, like the league did. Can I give you guys what I think was the league's sort of greedy misstep?
Hit me.
Because I think there was one. They should have just gone head-to-head with the Olympics. Like, that was the misstep, was that you know, not necessarily so much on the front end, but they did have more time on the back end. Like, they didn't want to give up Christmas. They kind of, you know, which is a marquee day for them. Like, that is a big deal day for them. You know, and I think, like, you could have extended. And you could have done your sort of your, you know, your compressed 72-game schedule, stretch it another 2 weeks, and had, you know, the conference finals up against the Olympics. It wouldn't have been ideal for anybody involved. But guess what? Global pandemics rarely are ideal for people. There's usually consequences. And I think if the NBA did anything wrong, and I've told people at the league this, that this is sort of what I think, is that, you know, they try to get back to normal too quickly. In addition to trying to squeeze us in before the finals in a sort of do right to their TV partners. And I think that was maybe the misstep, right? But I don't think starting the season in February was ever really on the table, like, to be totally honest. Is that fair to half the league that hadn't played for 11 months either? Who knows what that would have done to bodies too. So I just think the NBA was largely, I might sound like I'm kind of carrying their water here, they were in a pretty bad position on this, and they did what most businesses do, and that's they chose what was the most lucrative and palatable option. They combined those two, and they came up with what they did, and today LeBron James dunked on them. And it did not go unnoticed in league circles, that's for sure.
You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Wojcicki Sports. It's at Dan Wojcicki Sports. Lakers and Clippers Insider covers the NBA for the LA Times. Dan, as always, buddy, appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you
guys
next week.
Guys, this is like a five-segment kind of night. I'm getting out on light work. I appreciate it, all right? I'm going to go sit outside like LeBron, drink some red wine, and think about the goon squad and whatever else we've got coming up in front of me.
Nicely done. Back to the Knicks Power Forward podcast he goes, Dan.
Oh, yeah. You have to get back to that podcast. Got to get back to it. Great stuff there from Dan Wojcicki. And look, clearly where we started the conversation is the biggest thing. Paul George trying to change his image and reputation. Yeah. Has it worked? Has he completely changed it after tonight's huge game? I don't know. It's coming up next right here, Fox.
Huge boner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
As we just watched Paul George put on the greatest playoff performance of his career with no Kawhi Leonard, out with an ACL injury. He's not going to play in Game 6 or Game 7 if it's there. Paul George leads the way for the Clippers with 37 points, 16 rebounds, and 5 assists. He got a great night from the rest of his supporting cast. You know, he got 22 from Reggie Jackson, 25 from Marcus Morris, you know, 13 from Terrence Mann. The bench really didn't give you anything, but it didn't matter because of everything you got from Paul George and from the rest of the starters.
How about that dunk from Mann down the stretch going right at Rudy Gobert?
Yes, he was posterized Rudy Gobert.
I mean, that was reminiscent of what Kawhi did from straight up at the basket, right? That extension. He came from the side and went right at Gobert. Such a powerful move. And it's like, it's going to be lost because of all of Paul George. So we have to acknowledge it here on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, look, it was a great move by Terrence Mann. It was a great move by Terrence. Then he walked in the cornfield at the end.
Oh, he did.
That was so great. He waved goodbye.
And Blackboard he said, erased again, Ray.
He said, basketball, Ray, when I go in for that dunk. But now really it's about Paul George, right? And is he pandemic P, PG-13? Did Paul George remake his playoff image with the win tonight? Because clearly that's going to be story one or 1A over the course of the next 24 hours. I'm going to say not really. I mean, this was a good step for him. And look, he's had a really good playoff. Right, he's had a fantastic playoff. He's done everything you've wanted him to do this playoff. So has Kawhi. It's really been for the Clippers the lack of consistency from the supporting cast. But, you know, Kawhi up until this last game and Paul George have really been giving you everything you want. But there's still a couple of games where Paul George wanted zero part of a game-winning shot, where he played hot potato with the basketball and wasn't looking to try to win the game. And that's still part of who he is. I'm not saying this was just his night. Like, hey, it was just Paul George's night. But he still an inconsistent guy when it comes to making all the plays and having that complete part of his game. I mean, it's weird to say that, well, if you take out the fact he doesn't want to take game-winning shots, he's a great playoff player. But unfortunately, that's kind of part of the deal in the playoffs is you want to take game-winning shots. You know, Ben Simmons doesn't want to shoot the ball at all. And look, everybody wants him traded. He's going to be gone from the Sixers after this year. So I'll say for Paul George, it's a great step, right? It's a great thing for him to try to remake his image. And if the Clippers go and win the title this year and Paul George leads them to it somehow without Kawhi, then yes, you lead a team to a title, you redo that. But now there's still so many times in the past of Paul George and falling short and what's going on, and that it's hard for me to just take one game and say, okay, I can brush away everything else. It's a good step, right? And it's been a good playoff for him so far. But to say suddenly now he's redone it, not so much.
Well, not altogether. I mean, it doesn't erase the ills. It does erase your history. But look, you got to wake up and try to write your new chapter every day, right? You can't change the past. You can only look at today and moving forward with the opportunities and challenges presented to you. That's part of my TED Talk that I'll be releasing in a couple of weeks. Mike Harmon, Climbing That Mountain is the subtitle. And look at the calves and quads. Go to work. But for Paul George, that's exactly it, right? I mean, the same people that are praising him at every turn now were the guys calling him, you know, Pandemic P and denigrating the entirety of his career to this point. Guy's always been a pretty good player. Sometimes a great player. And unfortunately, well, that's kind of still where we're at. Put together a couple of gems in a row here. We'll see if he can carry them the rest of the way in this series. I can't wait to find out, but this was one hell of a win. There's no question about that. And Donovan Mitchell was slowed, and as Dan Wojcicki said, maybe he's banged up a little bit and a little more than is being let on. Look, you play who's on the court. And if you play, we can say, oh, you were hampered by injury, but you still played, right? If you were that bad, then you should be in sweats and waving a towel and trying to cheer your team on. I can only go with what's out on the court. And for Paul George, took full advantage, 37-16-5, a magnificent game. You ended up with four starters in double figures, Batum adding 9. And for Paul George, it's a nice step in the right direction without Kawhi Leonard. We'll see if he can carry forward, because that's a lot of energy spent these last couple of games. So we'll see, you know, coming back with another couple of big games still in the offing, if he can finish the job. Like, if he carries them deep in, because they are your Clippers once again. I mean, you're talking, it's like the Chris Paul conversation, right? Who's been greater in regular seasons, obviously longer than Paul George, but it's to the same end. Can you show up in big games? Right now for Chris Paul, we don't know how this storybook of this season is going to end. And so the animators that are writing the little book for kids, the little yellow book about the year of Chris Paul, they have to wait because they don't know what to animate next. But for Paul George, he's a guy still trying to rewrite his history and make you forget, you know, little Jedi mind tricks about past playoffs. And he's still got, you know, another 9 wins to go before that happens.
If I said, let's go back in time 10 days ago, right? And I said to you, which player is more likely to be on a new team next year? 10 days ago.
Yeah.
Which player is more likely to be on a new team? Is it Paul George or is it Ben Simmons? Every answer, Paul George. Now I ask you tonight, who's going to be on a different team next season? And it's no way, it's Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons.
I still
Ben
don't think
Simmons
he's going
gone.
Anywhere, but yes,
ben
he would
Simmons
be the guy that would
gone.
Be the answer. I think Doc Rivers is more likely to be coaching another team next
year. I'm not a one-and-done guy. No, no, it's not my fault. It's Ben Simmons' fault. He won't shoot. Can't anything for the free throw line. It's not my fault.
There's a lot of coaching openings. Two more today, buddy.
I didn't know it was Seth Curry. I thought it was Steph Curry. It's why I signed. But look at Seth tonight. That's what he did.
Well, because Daryl Morey ain't firing himself.
No.
You got to have a fall guy. Off the last $100 million-plus of Ben Simmons' contract is going to be harder than you think, especially when a guy takes two shots in the last – 2 second halves combined.
If you ask me about my coaching status after the game, put my hands over my ears and go, la, 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 I can't hear you. La, 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 I can't hear you. Next question. Who's got the next question? That's what it's going to be.
Did he have any quotes about hero ball or anything today? I didn't see.
No, didn't Doc see tonight that. After this loss was very much, hey, we really got to come back in game six and figure things out. And, oh, things are getting real serious now.
Four corners so. Basketball didn't work for you, Doc. You need someone that actually still wants to be aggressive and shoot. There, I summed it up for him nicely.
Shot clock's a bad idea. Without a shot clock, Ben Simmons, all NBA, first team. Make all that money, doesn't matter. With a shot clock hurts him. I mean, real, we got to find a way to get the shot clock out of the game.
Got to do it. Out of anger.
Too many points are being scored. Every game should be 20 to 19. That's how the game should be. Too many points.
I'm scrolling. I did a search of Doc Rivers' latest on Twitter. I got Duke, throw the damn towel, just walk away. If Philly loses this series, my Doc Rivers slander will be insane. Yeah. Sure wish Doc Rivers was still coaching the Clippers. Got to be a Laker fan. Doc Rivers is clearly the worst coach in NBA history. I mean, just keep going. It's so bad.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big night. And hey, and great news for Jacob deGrom, who says he feels like everything is going to be fine. He left tonight's game with a shoulder soreness. Every examination he did after the game, the shoulder looks fine. He's getting an MRI. To just continue to have great thoughts for the best player in Major League Baseball and a guy who's going to win the Cy Young and the MVP for both leagues. I mean, they're not even going to give one out in the American League. He's going to be so dominant because he's going to win both of them.
No, come on. There's at least three White Sox pitchers that are going to be vying for that.
Yeah,
the final vote's going to be ridiculous.
It doesn't matter. They're going to vote for DeGrom. Well, I can't do this. I'm voting for DeGrom. I'm going for DeGrom. It's all of
it. Well, as long as he keeps taking the ball every fifth day.
Yeah, he'll throw 30, 35 pitches. He strikes out 10, and it doesn't matter. And his ERA keeps getting lower. He'll pitch three innings, give up no runs, and strike out 8, and his ERA is eventually going to be like 0.2.
Yeah, I mean, he's won it before with few wins. So
he's won it before with two wins. He won two games.
So if
he won
I said few, yeah. Not two, but yeah. Sure. Ever since Felix Hernandez got that Cy Young, it kind of changed how we look at the win total, hasn't it?
Yeah, boy, CC Sabathia is still pissed about that. So with Paul George in the process of remaking his playoff image, is he quite there? No, but it's been a good start. And it's been a good playoff for him. Clearly, Ben Simmons is facing endgame with the Philadelphia 76ers. If I was Doc Rivers, I would tell him after tonight's game, you know, just like in the beginning of Endgame when Iron Man says part of the journey is the end. Think about that, Ben. Simmons is getting all of the blame. And we told you the beginning of the show tonight, while the Sixers were giving this game away, Ben Simmons is going to be the spotlight fall guy for this because he's not someone you can count on offensively in games anymore. As talented as he is, and he's 24 years old, and he's got all the talent in the world, he's the same player that he was when he came into the league. He's going to score 15 points a game. He'll give you about 10 assists, 8 rebounds, which is terrific. But when you're the second best player on the team, you got to be somebody that can shoot the ball in the fourth quarter. He doesn't shoot. He can't at free throws. He missed 10 free throws tonight. Missed 10. He's missed more free throws in the playoffs this year than three other teams. All right? He's missed 45 free throws. Atlanta's missed 35. Overall in the playoffs, he's missed all these free throws. He won't shoot at the end of games. He won't shoot threes. And so when it comes down to it, he is not a playoff player. And if you're going to go forward with the Joel Embiid era, because it had been Embiid and Simmons, these are the guys, trust the process, you clearly have seen that Simmons can't be that guy. And tonight is the tipping point for it, to see someone that you know, took four shots from the floor. And look, and while he can still give you a bunch of assists and still pull the ball down for rebounds, if you're the Sixers, you need somebody else. You need another star player if you're going to win, because the stark contrast of teams with two stars, when you compare them to the Sixers, it's not even close. Like, you look at a team like the Clippers, right? Kawhi, when he's healthy, obviously, and Paul George so far in the playoffs. Wow, that's great. Now you look at Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. That's not even close, man. Not even close. You look at the Utah Jazz with Donovan Mitchell when he's healthy, Rudy Gobert, and then you go Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. He's not a number two. Ben Simmons is your third best player. He is your setup point guard in the mode of Lonzo Ball. I mean, that's kind of what he is. And he scores a little bit more than Lonzo, but still Lonzo at least takes some threes once in a while. But that's kind of where it is. No one is going to sign Lonzo Ball this offseason and say he's going to be my second best player. Lonzo Ball is going to be their third best player.
He's going to come back to the Lakers. Go.
And it's just, hey, I'm back, everybody. Did you miss me? Oh, this is so much fun. But that's who Ben Simmons is. And because he's not that guy with the Sixers, they're going to have to move on, because they've had too much trying to rely on him, and they're going to need another star to come in to play alongside Embiid. Because look, Embiid will get some of the blame too. Hey, Embiid got tired at the end of the game. Well, you know what? Yeah, he gets tired when he takes 20 shots and scores 37 points and needs somebody else to take the scoring onus off him. You can't count on Seth Curry scoring 36 points like he did tonight. But the whole Embiid-Simmons has become Embiid, and all the way down at the end is Simmons. And when your team fails and can't move on, Simmons can't stay and be part of whatever kind of solution you have, because you got to free up money, you got to move things around. He'll be someone sought after. There's teams that will be able to bring him in. There'll be some kind of complicated three-team deal. But after tonight, I don't see the Sixers winning the next game. In fact, they won't even get off the plane. They'll probably lose that game by 30 to the Hawks. And then it's going to be what happens next. And Ben Simmons is going to wind up being the fall guy. And I can't say I disagree with that, because you've not gotten better. He's been the same guy. Can he go someplace else and be okay? Yeah, he could probably do that if teams try to make him the best version of himself. He's not going to suddenly start taking threes all the time, but he's got to be somewhere he can fit in and not have to be relied on as the second best player on the team. Then you can do okay. But right now with the Sixers, this, it's not working.
Yeah, I think when you look at Simmons trying to, you got a defensive specialist. That's fantastic. You do have Harris, who's making $34 million a year too, right? So you brought him in, and he's not able to get a shot or make a shot in down the stretch too. He's been useless in the fourth quarters of games as well. So you've constructed a roster that you've got Joel Embiid, who everybody admits he's playing on borrowed time because of the meniscus tear, yet he's playing like a beast and giving you every minute he's got until, well, the body starts to wear down a bit and the accuracy's off and one more hit. You know, you want to avoid that in the fourth, and so your leaner is a little different than it was than in the first quarter. And then you got a bunch of guys that don't want to shoot. And Ben Simmons, I don't know where the growth is. Like, it's hard, as we've talked about over the course of months, years. We've been doing Ben Simmons' entire career. When's the evolution? He's great, you know, and near to a triple-double oftentimes, and great defense. But if you can't rely on the guy in the final minutes, hell, after halftime, to be part of your offense, you got problems. And I don't know who's going to want to take that on at that cost. And if they do, you know, where does he fit? He's a three or a four, a highly paid defensive specialist. Is that what plays in today's NBA game? Hey, you know what? You're great in the regular season, but we have to have you off the court because you can't hit free throws and are afraid to shoot? I don't know that it works.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. So there you go. Welcome back, Paul George, Ben Simmons. The door is over here. 877-99 on Fox is the number. Coming up next, we get into another huge story coming out of the playoffs tonight. That's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
The Clippers win a game they probably shouldn't have won. The Hawks win a game I know they shouldn't have won, showing
succeed
we know nothing about the NBA. We know nothing about the National Basketball Association.
Not on this Wednesday. Hell, we didn't even get into some of the other stuff going on. Coaching firings.
No.
Right?
No,
Stan Van Gundy. We'd been talking about that. We talked with Jen Hale about that a long time ago. The rumblings of what was going on there. And then, you know, Brooks showed the door in Washington shortly thereafter. LaMelo Ball wins Rookie of the Year despite missing 20 games. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff going on. And then these games were just the icing on the cake. You know, when you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were the first two stories. I'm like, am I reading this? Are those bogus accounts? I'm looking for the A. Darn Schefter equivalent of shams and whatever else. How did they contract it? What did they do? How did they make it look so real? It's like, no, those are real. Those are real reports, people.
I will tell you this. It's been a night where we had to shorten the rotation, let's just say. That's kind of what it was. Hey, look, we got to stick with the guys that are going to be making shots for us, and that's kind of where we are. Now, all of these things happening right now in the NBA, the one of the biggest ones, because now this affects the rest of the playoff, is Chris Paul and his COVID situation, right? Chris Paul, you know, according to reports earlier today, tested positive for COVID-19. All the league will say is that he is in COVID protocol, and his status for the next games in the Western Conference Finals are up in the air. He could miss game one, game two. And already people are crazed today with, oh, LeBron gets to play. And you know, when he was hanging out with Drake, when he was launching a tequila line, and CP3 can't play. Just time out for 1 second. First of all, we had, according to reports, a positive COVID-19 test. LeBron did not have a positive COVID-19 test. That's one. The second thing is, it's Wednesday. COVID-19 rules are being rewritten in sports every single day. We don't know when the series is going to begin. We could have two more games in this series. We're going to get an update on Saturday. And if he has a couple of negative tests, I'm sure Chris Paul is going to be able to play because he's had both his vaccine shots.
Do we know that 100%? I don't know.
If he didn't,
that's what we've been told by allegedly from Jalen Rose, right?
Right, but Jalen, but also a couple of his teammates said it as well, that he told them I had both my COVID shots. So if it wasn't, I think that's something that we would have known. Suddenly, okay, now it's out. But if you had your COVID shot, okay, you can come back a little bit earlier on it. I mean, there's so many stories that we jump on right away for an instant reaction because it's such a big deal. Like, hey, is Paul George rewriting his playoff image? Nah, not really. Is Ben Simmons going to be a Sixer next season? Probably not. But this Paul George thing, there's so many different things. It's, you know, when did he get his second COVID shot? Was he 2 weeks out? What shot did he get? Did he just get the Johnson & Johnson, which is a one-shot deal? Does he have a variant which has been resistant to some COVID-19 vaccines over the course of the past month? There's a lot of things to be known that are, frankly, just bigger than the Western Conference Finals, because now Chris Paul is the face of what happens when you get COVID after getting your second shot. Because the vaccine, look, it's 90-something percent effective, which means it's not 100% effective. That's what vaccines are. You can still get the flu shot and get the flu. I mean, it still happens that way. It doesn't, but a vaccine protects you against the vast majority of getting really sick and potentially not getting it at all. So there's bigger questions at stake here with the whole Chris Paul thing. But as far as will he play in all this and LeBron, it's like, it's Wednesday. They're not playing for a long time. We had a long time to figure this out before we figure out, hey, okay, is this fair for Chris Paul and what's going on with him the entire playoff?
Well, we all want answers now, right? It's the Homer Simpson. Hey, that thing can flash fry a buffalo in 40 seconds. Oh, but I want it now. It's the same thing here. We want our information because we want a story like that. You want tied up as fast as you can. Right. And just, you know, we'll wait for whatever the next line in the protocols is. But more information and a crazy Wednesday.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Our best of podcast goes up in a few minutes. Download, subscribe on iTunes. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you get it. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Maller, Fox.